to Shattering Miss. We are going to return to the story of what the President of the United States said at the United Nations, because it's actually worse in context than it is out of context. It was quoted accurately by Larry, and we will review the fact that it was quoted accurately by Larry, but it was removed from its context, and in context, I think it is worse than it is out of context. But more important, we will return to that at this time tomorrow. What I'd like to do now is, before we return to our review of Yah's Word, I want to review a letter that I received in today's mail, because it addresses this issue. Should you become reliant on, what is the consequence of becoming reliant on, dependent upon, your government? Knowing that your government is purposefully, deliberately deceiving you. That your government wants you reliant on them, because even if you were to come to know that they are dishonest, that they are counterproductive, that they are despicable, what choice do you have? So this is a letter that's like a number of letters that I received. It begins, "Hello, Yada. My husband and I have been very interested in your information and enjoy your program tremendously. We're very new on our journey through the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. This from both being raised and strong, in quotes, Christian families. We do have many questions and concerns, but feel confident that we are now on the right path. You have recently been talking about being on welfare programs and wealth redistribution programs. We totally understand where you're coming from, however, but how do we get around being involved in the Social Security system and the Medicare system when they are automatically taken from our pay? We are not opposed to partaking in these programs. We are not opposed to not partaking in these programs, but we want to keep the wage we earn and not be forced to fund everyone else. Could you advise how to handle this without legal ramifications? We understand walking away from government, but where do you begin? We thank you for your consideration. We have many more questions and we'll be listening. Miss N." Dear Miss N., your statement is correct. We are not free in America to choose whether or not we want to support the military, educational indoctrination, or the prevailing strategy of socialistic government dependence. Our money is taken from us. But taking money from you does not make you reliant on your government. It makes the government reliant on you. Further, the taxes taken from you are not designated for the Social Security program or for Medicare, but instead go into the general fund. From Yah's perspective, it all gets down to knowing and then to understanding so that you can respond appropriately. In this regard, the request for us to walk away from our country before participating in the covenant requires us to know what God said relative to Babel, which is Babylon, and the religious, political, and military schemes that Babylon has inspired. That is the reason that we have been studying in these last 2 weeks Isaiah and Jeremiah. Personally, I despise the notion that tens of millions of dollars that I have paid in taxes over the years have been squandered in counterproductive ways, which are at odds with Yahweh's instructions. But all America took from me was my money, not my soul. I've turned my back on politics and religion, military and economic schemes, so that I could walk to Yah. And I think that is what God is asking of each of us. That is why he has provided so much information on why human institutions are beguiling and why they are unreliable. Not that anyone with an open mind couldn't see that now for themselves. It is why Paul, working for the adversary, wanted Christians to submit to government authority. When the question becomes, how wrong can a person be and still be right with God? By design, there are no clear answers. And that is partly because Yah isn't focused on what we do, but instead upon whom we trust. Social Security and Medicare have been crafted to induce the masses to become reliant on government rather than themselves, their families, and most especially their God. In the end, they are just Federal Reserve notes, which are redistributed. In reality, these notes are a liability. They're not an asset, just like the central bank and the country they represent. So I suspect that it is a person's attitude toward them that matters. Who are you devoted to? Who are you reliant upon? Which constitution do you support? Whose message do you listen to? What direction are you walking? I suspect that there are many others seeking clarification. So with your permission, I'd like to share your question and this reply on the show today. I realize that I did not answer your question directly, but I hope that I've encouraged you and perhaps others to think about your choices relative to the covenant. And therein, my friends, you may find your answer. Why do you suppose your government didn't give you any choice in these matters? And why did Yahweh give you the choice? From Larry, just to share that I think that there has been a fairly universal, although gradual, realization and acceptance of the fact that God, in fact, asked Abram, first and foremost, to walk away from his country, from Babylon, before he could engage in the covenant. And that is the lone prerequisite of the covenant. And that God was very clear in his testimony, in his teaching, in his guidance, to explain what Babylon represents. You see, Babylon depicted all over Yirmiyahu and Yeshayahu as the author of confusion, as satanic, as religion, as politics, as the shepherds who have misled the people. God has said, I want you to walk away from these things. He's called them economic schemes. He's called them religious schemes. He's called them political schemes. Just walk away from them. And people are willing to say, okay, that means I shouldn't vote. No problem. That means that I shouldn't rally behind a political candidate. No problem. That means that I shouldn't go to church. No problem. That means I shouldn't make donations to a religious organization. No problem. But when it comes to being dependent on government money,
suddenly they have a problem.
Suddenly people have a problem. You know, and I did not say here that receiving Social Security or receiving Medicare to pay for health care costs excludes one from the covenant. Didn't say that. I said dependence on government as opposed to reliance on Yahweh will exclude someone from the covenant, because that's what God said. God wants us not to be dependent, not to rely upon human institutions, but instead to rely on him. So it really is a matter of knowing what God said, understanding what he said, and then responding to him in an appropriate way. It's directional. It's attitudinal. You know, there's one of the great examples that exists in the Torah, Prophet, and Psalms about behavior mattering little and attitude and understanding and response mattering a lot is Dod. Dod was a bad boy. He did a lot of stuff that was really stupid. And Yahweh only held him accountable for one of the things that he did. Yet his life, and on the do list, I mean, that guy violated everything the Torah had to say, except the most important thing the Torah had to say. Study it. Come to know what God has offered us. Come to understand what he is willing to do for us, and then embrace its terms and conditions. That's what he did more than anything else. He came to love the author of these Torah teachings. He embraced the terms and conditions of the covenant, and he wrote eloquently about how he had come to understand what God was offering and how we should respond to it. That's what the Psalms are all about. And so it isn't about what we do, whether or not you accept and redistribute the promissory notes that are America's currency or not, is really irrelevant. Where's your mind at? Whose teaching do you value? Where do you go for answers? Who is responsible for your future? Who is responsible for your nourishment and protection? Who is responsible for your growth? So I view it as attitudinal.
Well, it is attitudinal. Nobody's going to work their way out of it. Nobody's going to take their, you know, their fine works and their great heart and make it. It's getting on his path and understanding it. You know, I think Dode's the perfect example. I do want to ask you something, though. You know, when he wrote the 22nd Psalm,
right?
Ms. Moore, I guess is how that would be pronounced.
Yeah,
is that right?
Right. Yeah, songs.
Song.
Lyrics to a song.
Yeah, when he wrote that, had he actually been so deep into the Word that he could put all that together, or I don't get that, because he really wasn't a prophet. You know, it's not like Yashayahu
or
something completely different. I mean, did he put all that together from the words, from the symbols?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. What's really interesting is how this whole concept of prophet. Yirmiyahu was not a prophet. Yasayahu was not a prophet. Hosea was not a prophet. They performed the role of a prophet, but do you find anything in Yashayahu or Yirmiyahu where it says, I, Yashayahu, I, Isaiah, predict the following is going to happen. But Yirmiyahu, predict this is going to happen. All they were scribes. Now, they performed an extraordinarily appropriate role as a scribe and as a spokesperson.
Right.
Now, with Dode, you don't see Yahweh using Dode that same way. Dode is, and so why is it, and that's what we'll return to after the break, why is it that Dode became the single most beloved human who has ever lived from Yah's perspective? And we will examine that when we return to Shattering Myths. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. We have our good friend Larry on the line. And Larry was asking a question about, you know, what is it that is so different? I mean, obviously, there's something that's very different about Dode, who we've corrupted to be David. There's no V in Hebrew, so it is Dode. The W, the W, is pronounced as we would the English O, and it means love. Why? What is it about this man named Love that sets him apart so that when God is identifying whose kingdom he's going to emulate on earth, it's going to be the kingdom of love, Dode, and that he calls this man who did some things that aren't really very flattering, righteous, perfect, upright. Why does God love this man more than any other? And you see, there's a real difference between Dode and Yashayahu. I don't want to diminish Yashayahu. He played a powerful and important role. He chose to speak the word of Yahweh to a community that didn't want to hear what God had to say. The same was true with Yirmiyahu. Chose to speak the word of Yahweh as Yahweh had revealed it to him to a community that did not want to hear what he had to say. Because God's testimony has always been unpopular. But you see, Dode listened to Yah in a very different way. It wasn't a case where Yahweh said, okay, now, Dode, I want you to set down your harp and grab a pen, just like I did with Moshe in revealing my Torah teaching. I want you to write all this down. I, Yahweh, say. That's not how the Psalms read. You see, Dode did what Yah is hoping that all of us will do. Listened to him by reading and reciting his Torah. That's what Dode did. And so Dode came to know Yahweh and came to understand what he was offering the same way that you and I are encouraged to do it by reading and reciting his Torah teaching. And then Dode used his gift of this gift called the Nesalma, this ability to exercise good judgment, so that he transitioned from knowing what God had said to understanding what God was offering, what God wanted. And then Dode took the next step. He responded to God appropriately and came to trust and rely upon him and to love him. And so it is that process that Dode used to come to know God, to come to understand what Yahweh was offering, and then respond to him that God is trying to reinforce. He says, that's what I love. And so it was this man who then felt compelled, encouraged, to do what we're doing on this program. Once you come to know Yahweh as he really is, once you come to understand what he is offering and you embrace it, then you have a number of immediate reactions. Dode is a living example of two of the most important of those. Let me say three. One is to celebrate it. That's why these are songs. Second is to expose and condemn the lies that have kept so many from failing to see who God really is and what he's offering us. And third is to help others understand it, putting the pieces together, explaining what's important. During the break, Larry, I encouraged Scott to go to introtogod.org, introtogod.org, which we had done earlier in the program anyway. And I said, I want you to go to his teaching section, click on it, and then click on part three, because it's in four parts. This is how it begins. One mizmor, or song, is devoted entirely to singing the Torah's praises. In fact, the 119th psalm, Yahweh's most comprehensive instruction on how to properly observe his Torah. The 119th Psalm, second only to the Torah itself, is the most important document ever written. I have found nothing which compares to the lyrics of this extraordinary melody. If you have an ear for Yahweh, if you love his Torah, you are in for a treat. The 119th Mizmor is comprised of 22 refrains, just as there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Each section of four prophetic couplets is distinguished by one of those letters. They are presented in alphabetic order, beginning with the Aleph and concluding with the Tau. And just as we shall discover, the subjects discussed in each refrain mirrors the imagery associated with the ancient Hebrew pictograph under which it is presented. So the psalm serves as a treatise on the letters which comprise the words of Scripture. For many, this psalm is befuddling. For others, it will be enlightening. And the difference all boils down to your definition of Torah. If you have been led to believe that the Torah is comprised of a long list of laws that must be obeyed, this psalm will be a huge disappointment because it does not reference a single law. There is no mention of the commandments of graven images, of blasphemy, of swearing, of honoring one's parents, or of bearing false witness. Back to this instruction in a moment. Back to Shattering Myths. I want to continue with the introduction of the 119th Psalm because it is germane to everything that matters in this life. And then we're going to go to Diane, who's called in from Colorado, who wants to add to this conversation. And we still have Larry with us. What I shared with you is that the realization that for many this psalm, the 119th psalm, which is the most comprehensive treatise ever written on the Torah, is disappointing to some because they view the Torah as a set of laws which must be obeyed. And yet, in this longest presentation that exists in Scripture of the Torah, there isn't a mention of a single rule There is no mention of any of the so-called commandments. There is no instruction on how to observe the Shabbat. There isn't a word spoken on the timing of the feast or what one should do on those days. There is no reference to being circumcised. There's no mention of what food you should or should not eat. There's no conversation on marriage or on adultery, on divorce, not even a mention of prayer. No, nothing. There's certainly no mention of worship. Therefore, if you believe that observing the Torah means being obedient to and obeying God's laws, then you will be disappointed. Even in this scripture's most comprehensive presentation on how to observe and respond to Yahweh's Torah, you will find nothing to support a legalistic perspective. That is a Christian and Jewish myth. If you have come to realize, however, that the Torah and that the word Torah actually means teaching, instruction, guidance, and direction, which is to be shamar, observed, so that it is known and understood, then this, the 119th Psalm, will be the most enlightening document you will ever consider. It will reveal precisely how to accomplish those goals, telling you what you should focus on and how you should respond. In addition to Torah and to Shamar, Torah teaching, Shamar observe, both of which are highlighted in the very introduction to the 119th Psalm, the operative terms of the Torah, according to Dode, the psalmist, are Pekudim, Mitzvah, Misfat, and Chok. Those four concepts dominate his presentation on how to come to know and then understand and ultimately properly respond to God's guidance. Since they represent what we are encouraged to observe, and since all four words are featured in the opening stanza of this song, let's define them in the order of their appearance. Pekudim. It speaks of instructions which have been entrusted to us to encourage us to carefully examine the guidance that we have been given so that we respond appropriately. Mitzvah represents the terms and conditions of God's binding covenant contract. The mitzvah are how we come to engage in our relationship with God. Choke happens to be nothing more and nothing less than the inscribed instructions of God which cut us in to this very relationship. And the mitzvot, they are the means that God uses to exonerate us, to venerate us, to make us appear righteous in his eyes. Such is the stuff of the 119th Psalm. I would encourage all who are listening to go to introtogod.org, and from there, click on the teaching segment of the Introduction to God, and then on the third section of it, and you'll be brought immediately to the 119th Psalm. To my ear, the most glorious, most inspiring, the most uplifting, the most enlightening message ever written. Yes, Scott.
I've just been reading just a little bit of it, just during this segment here, and the previous one, and you're right, it is pretty phenomenal.
It is. There's nothing that God values more than us valuing his guidance. That's really what it all, it's like a dad. You know, a dad wants their sons and daughters to value the guidance, the instructions, the teaching that they are providing, because they want the best for their sons and daughters. They want them to grow, to be nurtured, to become, have their character bloom. And what Yah is saying is that I want you to look at my teaching, my guidance, my Torah the same way. And don't take that seriously. And he tells you how we are encouraged not only to observe what God had to say, but how we should come to understand it and respond to it. It is brilliant. And to my way of thinking, friends, that's why Yahweh loved Dode so much. That's why I love the man so much. I think it is fair to say that Dode, the man that we know as David, was the most brilliant mind to ever exist on this planet. Certainly his teachings are the most valuable to us. Diane, you're calling in from Colorado. Sorry to have you on hold so long.
Good morning, Al. How are you? Got it?
Good. Yeah, fine. You know, I don't mind being being called Yah, and not from the sense that I'm, you know, I'm claiming to be Yah, obviously. But we really all are his sons and daughters. When you embrace the covenant, when you do as Dode did, and you follow his teaching regarding the Torah teaching, you become God's son or daughter. You know, and like all sons and daughters, you bear your dad's name, and so we are all sons of Yah when we embrace his covenant. So let's
absolutely.
Just so Yada ben Yah.
Absolutely. So I was thinking the past couple of days about the 119th Psalm.
Yes.
And you did such a wonderful job on it probably about a year ago in a blog talk. And so
yes,
I was thinking, wow, it'd be just wonderful if Yah would be able to read 119th Psalm in like a 2-hour segment and just go through it and read it like Dode had meant for it to be written without the corruptions that we have now. But I turned radio on today and you are talking about the 119th Psalm.
Yeah.
So it just turned out perfect.
Yeah, I would really love to be able to do another series on the 119th Psalm. For those wondering what Diane is speaking of on Block Talk Radio, in fact, if you just Google Yada Yahweh Radio, it'll take you directly to the top link will be to Block Talk Radio, where I did probably 1,000 programs on Yah's testimony. And the most recent series was a series on the Introduction to God, where we went through all 7 sections of it and presented God's teaching to us about the 7 things that are the most important to Him. And the longest of those sections was the presentation of the Torah, and the longest section of the Torah presentation was the review of the 119th Psalm. And so if you don't want to read it, you'd prefer to listen to it, you can actually go to Yada Yahweh Radio, and you can listen to all of the programs that were recorded and devoted to the 119th Psalm, which is probably more than a month of programs. So Diane is right. It is the single greatest treat. There is just nothing that compares to it. It's like this Torah, God's Torah exists, and everybody has a preconceived conception of what Torah is. If you ask a Christian, you know, it's legalistic stuff that you can't possibly obey by a God whose views no longer matter because you have this New Testament where all you have to do is believe. And that's they just write it all off with that. With the rabbinical Jews, it's way too hard for you to understand. So what you should do is pay attention to the Talmud, which is rabbinical arguments. With the Quran and Muhammad, hey, you know, don't sweat that because you know, this is the only prophet that you ought to listen to, and besides that, what we have to say is entirely different of what that God had to say, because the Islamic God wants to be worshipped as if he were real. And, of course, Paul just assailed the Torah. That was his primary purpose in writing his letters, was to discredit the Torah. So everybody has a preconceived notion, and the only view of the Torah which really matters, what does God have to say about it? And so what we did in that in the Torah teaching section of the Introduction to God is present what does God have to say about his Torah teaching in his Torah. And then the next section is what does God have to say about his teaching in the writings, in the Proverbs and in the Psalms. Because Proverbs are mostly, the father is almost always Yahweh, the mother is always almost always the set-apart spirit, and the son is either Yahusha or us as children of the covenant. And so we went through and systematically did that. And the next thing was, what does this 119th Psalm have to say about the Torah? Because that also shares God's perspective on it. And lastly, what do the prophets have to say about the Torah? Because what's most interesting about the prophet's testimony on the Torah is the affirmation of the Torah in the last days. So if Christianity had a New Testament that replaced the Old Testament, why is it that God is focused entirely on the Torah in the last days? So anyway, all of those things are worth considering. Diane has gone. I probably talked too long about my enthusiasm for the 119th Psalm, but Larry, it's obvious that she shares that same enthusiasm.
Oh yeah, and it's obvious too when you know he focuses on the Torah being the answer in the final days. That
yes,
absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, I see.
Everything is a New Testament. We know that.
Yeah.
You know, after you know, figure this, Yada. After knowing what you know today,
mm-hmm.
and then you look at you know, Pauline doctrine and Christian mm-hmm. teaching, and even churches as a whole, even the word church, the whole institution itself, okay?
Right.
It seems a bit ridiculous, doesn't it?
Of course.
Once you have knowledge. I mean, it just seems
yes.
ridiculous. I'm not saying it's not an effective counterfeit. It is. It's fooled many, you know, bright
yeah.
people throughout
yeah.
their entire life.
Christianity is a very, very effective counterfeit. It is extraordinarily beguiling. And Paul was a very, very clever individual.
Yes.
But
yeah, no,
Paul,
what
Paul
you know
writes
today.
In circles. Yeah, so when I look at it today, my eyes are open. I'm looking at it from the proper perspective. I have benefited from Yah's teaching and guidance. And therefore, from his perspective, when I look at what Paul had to say, it's all rotten. I mean, it's just all putrid. And when I look at what the church proclaims, it's rotten. It's putrid. It is so disgusting compared to the merit of the truth as Yah revealed it. And so, yes, it's that which once was beguiling is now open. It's now revolting from our perspective. We'll return to Shattering Myths in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I thought we would end by quoting a conversation from Yahweh to the man with whom he initiated his covenant. Speaking of the benefits of the covenant, Yahweh said to this man, "This blessing, this good fortune, is because Abraham actually listened to and heard everything associated with the sound of my voice. He paid attention to my call and my invitation, and he closely observed and carefully considered my requirements, my terms and conditions, my clearly communicated and inscribed prescriptions for living, and therefore my teaching, instruction, guidance, and direction." It's Bar-Rashith in the beginning, Genesis 26:5. God is saying that the relationship, the Asher, the good fortune, the blessing. Asher is, of course, my favorite word in Scripture because it is the word that opened my mind up to Scripture. It was in Asher that it is mistranslated in 2 Samuel 7, where it says that when he sins, I will not spare the rod, speaking to the Messiah. If he sins, then he didn't make a sacrifice for you and me, but for himself. And when I found out that Asher speaks of relationship, so when sin is associated with him is how it should actually read, and beneficially for our good fortune associated with him, that is when I came to question all translations and began to translate Hebrew myself. So this blessing, this good fortune, this relationship is because Abraham, which means enriching and merciful father, actually listened to and heard everything associated with the sound of my voice. That's what Dod did. That's what you and I have the opportunity to do. How do you listen to the sound of Yahweh's voice? Read his Torah. It's that simple. And he closely observed and carefully considered my requirements. Yes, there are requirements to the covenant. There's five of them. Five specific things that Yahweh requires of us if we wish to participate in a relationship with him. The first of those, of course, is to walk away from our country, to walk away from family, to walk away from Babel, which is the corruption of religion and politics, and to come to trust and rely on Yahweh instead. That's the second of them. The third is to walk to God and become perfect. God's path to him is outlined in the seven Moed Mikre, the invitations to meet with God and to be called out of the world. God then says that he wants us to observe, to carefully consider his covenant so that we come to understand what it is that he is offering us so that we can respond to it appropriately. And as our sign, our signature, that we will raise our children so that they choose to become God's children, we're asked to circumcise our sons. Those are the terms and conditions. So my requirements, he says. Then he says, my terms and conditions, my directions and written codicils regarding the covenant contract, my clearly communicated prescriptions, my inscribed thoughts and recommendations, which are shared to cut you into this relationship. And therefore, he says, my teaching, my instruction, my guidance, and my direction, my Torah. Torah is derived from to, which means signed, written, and enduring. Torah, way of treating people. Tor, giving you the means to explore, to seek, to find, and to choose. Yara, which is the operative verb of Torah, the source of instruction, teaching, guidance, and direction that flows from me, which tub provides answers to facilitate your restoration and return, even your response and reply to that which is tob, good, pleasing, beneficial, favorable, healing, and right, and that which causes you to be loved, to become acceptable, and to endure. Torah, purifying and cleansing you, thereby Tor, providing you with the opportunity to change your attitude, your thinking, and your direction. There are very few statements that are as comprehensive as this one relative to how we can come to know Yahweh as he is and accept that same benefit associated with this fortuitous relationship. If you have not yet done so, I would encourage you to come to know what Yahweh said by listening to him, particularly as he speaks to us in his revelation of his one and only covenant relationship in the first book of his Torah teaching. If you don't want to take the time, and it is an investment of time, to translate Hebrew into English yourself so that you might understand it, then what I would encourage you to do is go to that same Intro to God, and instead of clicking on the teaching button at the top of the page, click on the one that speaks of the covenant relationship, and there you will find Yah's instructions, which will guide you home. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
I've seen the longevity products work for many others, and so I bought a bunch of them, started using them, had a little bit of results, but I wasn't following the regimen every day. But Aaron Dykes and my...